you have your Bible this morning, let's hold up our Bible. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life and my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a thank you for the word today, would you? Amen. Well, I hope you have something to take notes with today. We're beginning a brand new series called A Spirit-Filled Church. A Spirit-Filled Church. You know, my family, we came here 42 years ago and planted Church on the Rock. We're the founding pastors. We're 35 precious people. And from then to now, we have always been, we are, and will always be a Spirit-filled church. Now, a lot of people don't understand what that really means, so I want to break it down this month. And you say, Pastor, really, how is that going to help me today? Well, you stay with me. I'm going to help you today by the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed. I'm called. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I've got a good word for you. Is that okay? Amen. So, a Spirit-filled church. Now, the world doesn't understand you because it doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. So the big idea for me this whole month, everyone say big idea. Why I'm teaching on it is this. I want all of us, including me, at the end of the month, to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. A deeper relationship. Good morning, Holy Spirit. A deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, your friends and family that aren't born again, they don't understand why you go to church every weekend. They don't understand why you tithe and give and serve and share and love the Lord. And they never will because they don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. You can't gain revelation, understand, or even have a desire to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. So your friends and family and peers and those are next to you that make fun of you and they don't know the Lord is because they don't have the Holy Spirit and you do. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. That gives you an advantage. That gives you an edge. I think the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he, that's the Holy Spirit, that's in you than he that's in the world. Say it with me, the greater one lives, abides, and moves on the inside of me. Now, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God the Father, where is he? In heaven. God the Son, where is he? Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. So the only one of the Trinity on the planet is the Holy Spirit. You and I need to know how to cooperate with him, partner with him, fellowship with him, communicate with him, grow deeper with him. And that's what this month is all about, on a Spirit-filled church, a Spirit-filled church. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Y'all ready? Okay. So why would I teach on it? Let me break it down for you, make it real simple. I like to make the difficult simple. Why? What's in it for me? Okay, here it is. A deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. To live my best life in every season of my life. Now, that was a rhema word God gave to me preparing this message. To live my, everyone say best. I don't want average. I don't want mediocre. I don't want you to have second best. I don't want you to get to heaven and say, I coulda, woulda, shoulda, but didn't. I want you to live your best life. In every season of your life, break it down. Your 30s should be better than your 20s. Got some young people over here. Your 40s should be better than your 30s. Middle crowd right here in the middle, praise God. Your 50s should be better than your 40s. Oh, we got some mature adults over here, I'm telling you what. And your 60s, I really believe this, should be better than your 50s. Steve, and your 70s should be better than your 60s, and your 80s should be better than your 70s, and your 90s should be better than your 80s, and your 100. Come on, somebody. Doesn't the Bible say our latter days are greater than our former days? Doesn't the Bible say we go from glory to glory? We shouldn't shrink and downsize our life as we age. You know, Church on the Rock, we are a tri-generational church. Here's a good one for you to write down. A spirit-filled church is a three-generational church. You've got some churches out there today is all they want is young people. You got other churches, all they want is old people who don't want to change. But a spirit-filled church is a church that wants every age group, tri-generational. Let me give it to you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three generations. How many times do you hear the phrase in the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It's three generational. So a New Testament church is a spirit-filled church. And a spirit-filled church is a tri-generational church that they want all three generations. Now, let me give you scripture. I love it. In Joel, don't go there. Just write it down if you're a note taker. Chapter 2, verse 28. In Joel 2, 28, Peter quoted this on the day of Pentecost. And it says what this, in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon what? Young, and also the old will dream, young will have visions on your handmaidens. So there's three generations there. When the Holy Spirit is being poured out, the Holy Spirit comes upon three generations. A New Testament church, which is a spirit-filled church, is tri-generational. We want every age group utilized, appreciated, empowered, and involved in our local church. There's a good time to praise the Lord for that, somebody. Every season. So the Holy Spirit helps you through, because with each season, there's new challenges. With each season, there's new opportunities. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us in every season of our life to be better than the last season, to have a greater boldness in our witness. A spirit-filled church, a spirit-filled believer has a boldness upon them. They're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not ashamed of Christianity. They're not ashamed of their church and their spiritual community. They're not ashamed of the move of God. They're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all remember that all the disciples forsook Jesus and left him when he went to the cross? In fact, Peter denied him three times, didn't he? Peter, the Bible says, went back to his company, back to his business. He went back to fishing. He gave up. He walked away. He withdrew. He ran. But then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they all spoke in tongues, what happened? He gave the first sermon of the brand new Testament church, stood up boldly and preached, the same Peter, and 3,000 converts, and the New Testament church was born with 3,120 believers. What was the difference? He got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit gives you a greater boldness. And that's what a spirit-filled person is. Why are we teaching on it? So you and I have a greater impact and a greater influence on our family, our friends, those around us. Acts 1 and verse 8 says, "And you shall receive power." Everyone say power. "And you shall receive power to be a witness," to be a witness, to impact Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the entire world. You personalize the location where you live. So we have a greater influence. We have a greater impact when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence of our own personal prayer language that's between you and the Heavenly Father. To see signs. Why am I teaching on it? To see signs, wonders, and more miracles. The Bible says in Mark 16, that you, not our staff, that you, not the clergy, that you, that signs will follow those who believe. Mark 16, 15 through 20. And these signs will follow those that believe, that you'll lay hand, you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You will speak with new tongues. You will cast out devils. Come on, somebody. And these signs will follow you. A spirit-filled church sees more miracles. A spirit-filled believer sees more miracles, has a greater boldness, has a greater influence, a greater impact. A spirit-filled believer. Here's my definition. Look at the screen of a spirit-filled church, because I grew up in a spirit-filled church. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent. My dad was the deacon. It was an Assemblies of God church. I'm thankful for it. That's Pentecostal. But down through the years, there's been a lot of different perspective, interpretations, and definition of what a spirit-filled church. Is that a holy roller church? Is that a Holy Ghost church? Is that a church where they do the chicken walk and the doodads down the aisle? Oh, you holy rollers, you roll in the aisles and you hang from the chandeliers. I never saw anybody do that all growing up. But there's all kinds of spooky definitions of what a spirit-filled church looks like. Let's look at this definition of a spirit-filled church. It's a community of believers who are led, transformed, empowered, and they recognize and honor and welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe at the end of this month, you and I are going to have a greater anointing, or you and I are going to have a greater a presence of the Lord and awareness of it in our life. I believe you're going to see signs and wonders follow you, and you don't even know it's happening when it's happening. Come on, somebody. I believe we're going to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit at the end of this month. I believe we're going to see a greater move of God in our family, our community, and in our church. Amen, somebody. That's so important. I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 8. But before we do, let me just tell you my story. Okay, my story. So at age 11, and the difference that it made when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At age 11, we moved into a new town, and that local church, it was a little Assembly of God church of 100 people. And the pastor, his name was Sam Reeves. Now, whoever led you to the Lord, you owe them for the rest of your life. I'm going to say that again. You should honor them. Whoever led you to the Lord, you should honor them, reverence them, because God used them to lead you to a God who's for you. So the pastor who led me to the Lord, he's in heaven. His name was Sam Reeves. His church was 100 people. It didn't pay him enough to live, so on the side, he drove a school bus. But he came and visited our family. The church would get a list of newcomers in the city. It was a small town. So he got the name of our family. He came and visited us, invited us to church. We went to church that Sunday morning. I heard the gospel at 11 years old, and I went to the altar, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now, when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes in you and me. You cannot get born again without the Holy Spirit. Did y'all hear you, Pastor? You cannot get born again without the Holy Spirit. So when you and I get born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside your human spirit to live. We call that the indwelling. Everyone say indwelling. Say it again, indwelling. One more time, indwelling. So the Holy Spirit comes, we call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But there's another experience beyond that called the infilling. One is called the indwelling, the other is the infilling. The indwelling is salvation. The infilling is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of a prayer language speaking in tongues that's between you and God for your personal edification. That's really important. So that morning I received Christ, and so I grew up in the church, and during my teenage years, you know, I don't know if it was rebellion or if it was religion, we sang about that today, or tradition, there was different perspectives. I was taught you had to wait and tarry, and you just had to wait and tarry, and you didn't know when it was going to happen, if it happened. And so, I don't know, it could have been my rebellion. as a teenager, or it could have been, you know, religion or wrong teaching or tradition. For whatever reason, I didn't receive the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I was 22 in college. So at 11, I received Christ. You can't receive Christ without the Holy Spirit. It's called the indwelling. He comes to live within inside us. Regeneration, consecration, transformation, sanctification, the whole process. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's when more power in your life, more boldness in your life, revelation when you read the Bible, all the things we talked about earlier, signs, wonders, and miracles begin to happen. It opens the door to the gifts of the Spirit, and you begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit, like you heard the testimony of the gentleman with a word of knowledge came through me, and God healed him. God did the healing. So this is why there's two different experiences. So I was growing up, and then, you know, later on, you know, I'm a senior in high school, and I hear about this young lady, and I find out that I could go out on a date with her. Her name was Kim Chadwick, Pastor Kim, okay? And so, you know, we dated. Our first date was, I took her to a car show. Makes sense, right? I took her to a car show. I'm a car guy. I took her to a car show, but I can still remember our first date. She had on tight white Levi's, tight black sweater, hubba, 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 Jean. I was moved, praise God. And so I can still remember that first date we went there. And the second date we went to a horse show because, you know, Kim's into horses. I am too, but a different kind of horses, okay? So that was our second date. And then later on, I took her on a date, and we went downtown, Gene, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, and we went to a theater, and I took her to a movie, maybe you've heard of it, called Shaft. The original Shaft. And so this, you know, what is she thinking? I took her to this movie, I wanted to see it, and we were the only two white people. It was full, and we were we shone, you know. It wasn't the Holy Spirit on us, but we stood out, you know. Shaft, who is the man who can? Shaft, can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? You know, just coming back around. Y'all pray for me, praise God. It's a cool movie, the original one, hallelujah. So anyway, so we dated, and after a year, we decided to get married. And so we got married, and here's a picture of our wedding date. No, not that, guys. That's, yes, thank you, please. Okay. So, man, look at my bad self there, that afro. Y'all see that afro? Praise God. Kim looks scared. Doesn't she look kind of scared there? I never noticed that before. She kind of looks like, oh, what did I get myself into? Praise God. But that's our wedding night. And my dad said, I'll give you $50. You cut that afro off. I said, no, Dad, took too long to get the afro. Had it permed just for the wedding. It's staying on. So that was our wedding, and we got married. And I thought, you know, man, marriage is going to make me happy. Marriage is going to fulfill me. Marriage is going to satisfy me. Marriage, all my problems are going to fly away. Guess what? None of that happened. So Kim and I, we've been married for like a couple years, and we were fighting, fussing, loved each other, but couldn't stand each other. Throwing stuff at each other, cussing, cursing at each other, going to church once in a while. You know, we knew we should be going all the time, but we were just kind of in a black, backslidden state. So I thought, you know what will make me happy? I'm a car guy. Now, guys, I'm going to buy a new Corvette. So in 1974, I bought a red, brand new, and back then a brand new Vette, saddle tan interior, 350, was really awesome. I thought that would bring me satisfaction. I thought that, now I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit's on the inside, but I'm unhappy, I'm empty, I'm miserable, I'm searching. I'm thinking there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. I'm up and down, I'm in and out. I waver. I said, there's got to be more. So I get that car. That car will make me. And guess what? It didn't make me happy. It didn't fulfill me. So I'm a motorcycle guy. I've been riding motorcycles since I'm 15. My first motorcycle I bought when I was 15 before I got a license. So I thought, I'll get a Kawasaki 900, 1974. That was the fastest motorcycle they made in 1974 in the world. And I thought, man, I'll get that. Ask Pastor Kim how fast it was sometime. Just ask her. She rode one time with me. She's never been on a bike since. She rode one time with me. So I thought, man, I'm going to buy that bike. That's bad to the bone. Wow, that'll make me happy. That'll satisfy me. Guess what? That didn't make me happy. That I'm a Christian. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside. We go to church off and on. My dad's a deacon. Mom's Sunday school superintendent. But I'm unfulfilled. I'm unhappy. I'm miserable. I'm wandering. I thought
there's
a guy in the church, he's a construction guy. His name was Gary Hammond. And he said, we'll build you guys a brand new house on a three acre lot in the country. How's that sound? Sounds good to me. Let's go for it. So we started filling out the papers. Guess what? That wasn't making me happy. New house, acreage in the country. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm a Christian. I go to church off and on. My dad's a deacon of that church. I got saved in that church. I got water baptized in that church. I got married in that church. But I'm still miserable. There's something unfulfilled. I'm not satisfied. And so what was happening next is where I worked. I worked where Kurt Warner, the same grocery store chain that Kurt Warner worked for, I worked for. And I was in management. I was making lots of money back then. I get a bonus if your department met its quota. And I thought, this will make me happy. Money, position, it didn't make me happy. It didn't fulfill me. I still was unsatisfied, unfulfilled. So I finally went to church one Sunday morning in October 1975. And I said, God, I'm laying everything at the altar. We sang about it today. I'm making room for you, God. I'm giving it all up, not my agenda. I'm not coming to you for blessing. I'm coming to you. I surrender my will. And I got to have help. There's got to be more. There's got to be something. God, I need you. I surrendered it all. I sold everything. We went to college. And we were in the halfway through the second year of college. I'm 22 years old. We're in Waxahachie, Texas. It's Southwestern University. That's where we're going. But we go to this church. You get to go to a church if you're going to the university. You get to go to a church if you're going to the university. So we were at this church on a Sunday morning in Waxahachie, Texas. Ran about 300 people connected to the university. A lot of professors went there. And it was a Sunday morning. I'm still searching. I'm still looking. I'm still needing. I'm still empty. And I had tried to been baptized in the Holy Spirit off and on all those years. It never happened. Struggling with it. Misconceptions. Wrong thought about it, wrong ideas. I don't know if it was my rebellion or religion or tradition or what. But finally that morning, kind of like today, during praise and worship, the church ran about 300. And we had praise and worship. The pastor then got up and taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of a prayer language speaking in tongues. Spirit-filled churches believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural power of God. So we're sitting there, Kim and I. I'm listening to the pastor. He gets done preaching, and then he said, let's all stand together. The worship team's coming back, and I'm going to pray for you all, he said. He said, I can't lay hands on you, but I'm going to pray that Jesus, and by the way, it's Jesus who baptizes you and me in the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. And he said, I'm going to pray that Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you a fluent prayer language. And those of you who have already been baptized, he's going to give you a fresh new language. And so we stood up. And you know, that morning, it was just right. I was, I guess, in a right position. You see, you can't force spiritual hunger. And by the way, I just want to ask you, how would you rate your spiritual appetite today? How would you rate your own spiritual appetite? I'm 72. I got born again when I was 11. I'm more hungry for God today than I have ever been. 42 years ago, we planted this church. I'm hungrier for God. I want more for God. I'm on more fire for God than I have ever been. I am not satisfied. I am not settled. I want more of God in our church, in your family, in our community, and what God's called us to do. I am hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So I'll never forget that morning, though. And here's what the pastor said. He prayed the prayer that Jesus would baptize us and give us a fluent language. And then he said this. He said, make it simple. We make it too hard in the church. Whatever syllables come to your head, just start speaking them out. Just by faith, just start speaking those syllables out. And so you know what I did and the Holy Spirit did. And that morning I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began to have a prayer language. Now, it wasn't fluent, because when he gives you a prayer language, usually it's a few syllables, okay? But then as you use those syllables, your prayer language will grow. It's kind of like when you were a baby, dada, mama. You're a teenager, can I borrow the car? It just kind of grows, you know, your language. But if you use it, you won't lose it, and it will grow. And it will expand into different languages as you walk in your journey with God. So that morning, though, here's what I want to get to. A deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled church, what is that? We've laid it out for you. And so what happened after that, I was totally changed. I grew up in Assemblies of God. Kim grew up in the Baptist church. Oh, we love them. Her dad and mom served the Lord all their life. My mom and dad served the Lord all their life. We were around all of it, but yet we still hadn't partaken of that second experience, the infilling, and then being filled every day with the Holy Spirit, seeing the fruit of that. And so something changed in me. I mean, that morning, it was like I got born again. It's like everything changed. And so a couple weeks went by, and I made an appointment with the pastor. Now, watch the transition. I made an appointment with the pastor, and I said, Pastor, what do you need around here? He said, well, we got a bus ministry, but I can't get anybody to go out with me anymore. I said, I'm your man. I said, when is it? This Saturday. I'll be there with you. So I began to go out with the pastor every Saturday morning and invite bus kids for the bus ministry for the church. Now, growing up, I did diddly squat in the church. Kim and I got married. We never were on a dream team. We never did volunteering. We came, set, soaked, took in, and left. Something happened. Spirit-filled people want to serve. Spirit-filled people want to give back to their local church. Now, I grew up with the church. I never cared about myself until I got Spirit-filled. And I went to that pastor, and I said, I'm your man. And so every Saturday, I went out with him in the pastor's car, and we went to those neighborhoods nobody wanted, and we knocked on the doors, and we talked to the parents, and we invited the little kids, and then Sunday we came and got them on the bus. So after a few weeks went by, I went back to the pastor. I'm still doing it. I said, Pastor, what else do you need? He said, we got a jail ministry downtown Dallas, Texas. At that time, it was right across the street from where JFK got killed. He said, we got a jail ministry, and we need help in that jail ministry. Would you consider? I said, I'm your man. What has happened? I got Spirit-filled. All of a sudden, my priorities changed. All of a sudden, it was about God, his kingdom, and the local church. And I wanted to give back, and I wanted to serve, and I wanted to give, and I wanted to make an impact, and I wanted to share my story, and I wanted to witness. What had changed? So then every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we went to the Dallas County Jail. At that time, it had three tiers of a row of cells. That's where I taught my first sermon, from the outside, not the inside. I want to make that clear. Praise God. And I tell you, what a boot camp. You're trying to preach a sermon to a bunch of inmates at the Dallas County Jail in Dallas, Texas, when the Cowboys are playing? Seriously, they spit over the side at me. They hawked Louis and Goobers. They cussed me. They cursed me. They yelled at me. They said they wanted to grab me around the neck and strangle me. They wanted us out of there because they said, we want to hear the Cowboys playing. But what had happened in my life? There had been a power that came on me that I never had before as a believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when I had the infilling, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I made room, we sang about it, for the Holy Spirit today, everything changed in my life. Everything. I wanted to get involved in my church. I wanted to give back. I wanted to serve. I wanted to help. I wasn't in a hurry anymore when I came to church to get in and to get out. Now, can I just say this? Can I be your pastor for a moment? Hurriedness hinders the Holy Spirit in your life. Hurriedness hinders the Holy Spirit from moving in a church service. We got to get back to where we're not in a hurry, and God deserves our time, our attention, our affection, and our devotion. The body of Christ. So everything changed. So let's look at it, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. Everyone say power. Now what? That's power for eternal life. So when you get born again, you have eternal life. Your spirit's going to live forever. When you die here, your body falls to the grave, but your spirit, angels escort you to heaven. Eternal life. So when we receive the Spirit, that's the indwelling, that's receiving salvation or eternal life. But it's twofold. And also power to live your best life in the here, now, and nasty. Whether at school, you won't compromise, you won't give in with your schoolmates, you'll be bold, you'll be confident, you'll have direction, you'll be excited. Like Kim was talking about today, when you were born again, your first love, you're excited about church and God and serving and sharing and witnessing and telling and seeing lives change. But ye shall receive power. Everyone say power three times.
Power,
power, power. Power for eternal life, that's salvation, and power to live an overcoming life. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit in living your best life. And you will be a witness. You won't be ashamed that you're a Christian. You won't be ashamed that you're a believer. You won't be ashamed of your church, but you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Everyone say one place.
One place.
I want you to see something. The Holy Spirit, as the team comes out, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit came into the place before it came into the people. The Holy Spirit came into the place. This is the place. Before it came into the people. You see, why you and I gather together, this is why staying at home watching on television isn't enough. The Bible says when you gather, there I am in your midst. So when we show up, God shows up. When we show up, the Holy Spirit begins to manifest in this place, begins to work on all of our hearts, softening, healing, restoring, adjusting, rearranging, changing, and we leave stronger and better when we go. But the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, comes into a place before it comes into a person. It's powerful. That's powerful. That's why you want to honor this building. You say, well, we're the church. It's true, but we have to have a place to meet. We have to have a place for the church to meet. And then it goes on in verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Notice the house was filled before the people were filled. The house was filled. We're on holy ground. The presence of God. When you and I come in for praise and worship and we enter in and we engage and we recognize and we honor the presence of the Lord, that's a spirit-filled church. And we're giving room and giving place for the Holy Spirit to move up and down every aisle in every life. Notice, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh, that's powerful. Don't miss it. And then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. Now, there's emblems of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Fire, but he's not fire. Wind, but he's not wind. He's not a ghost. He's not water, right? He's not oil. But all those, he's not a dove, but all the emblems in the Bible are there to reveal the character of the Holy Spirit. He is a person and not a it. He's the third part of the Trinity. Now watch this, and set upon each of them. Who did the Holy Spirit set upon? Each of them. Who did the Holy Spirit set upon? Each of them. Who were filled with the Spirit? Each of them. Who spoke in tongues? Each of them. Did you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was sitting in that crowd? Did you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues? Do you realize that? Do you realize that the New Testament church believed in the filling of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues? Do you realize everyone who wrote the New Testament was Spirit-filled and spoke in tongues? A New Testament church is a Spirit-filled church. But I'm bringing this out, each of them. In other words, all of us in this room, it's God's will for each of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's God's will for each of us, no matter the color, our background, economics, education, for each of us to walk in power, for each of us to see signs and wonders, for each of us to move in the supernatural. But it's up to us. He won't force spiritual hunger. He won't force it. You can have as much of God as you want. You can stay where I was with the indwelling all your life and go to heaven, but be beaten up, defeated, distracted, wounded, empty, questioning, doubting. Or you can go to the second experience and have the infilling of the Holy Spirit with a prayer language that follows only the initial evidence and live the abundant life. Verse 4, and each one, and all of them, so I can walk out of here today unsaved. It's your choice, but we'll still love you. You can walk out of here today and say, I don't want that. That's too much of that God stuff. It's up to you. God will and we will still love you and want you to come. It's up to you and me how much your spiritual appetite, spiritual hunger do you have today? Some people are satisfied with once a month at church. Some people are satisfied to still stay home and watch online. And can I say, it will never replace the local church, sitting in a local church. Never will. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A Spirit-filled church. I want to encourage you, stay with me this month. Hang with me. And I believe at the end of the month, our life is going to be different. Amen? I'm done. If I helped anybody, give the Lord, I thank you for the word today. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing, nobody moving. Our prayer team's coming forward. Let's pray a corporate prayer right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never turned your life over Him today, do it today. Because I have to be born again first. I first have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come on the inside before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before the infilling. And you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray a prayer right now. Let's help everybody here at home. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all look up and celebrate with those who did that.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.